Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth? Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, indeed we thank you for this, your word. We pray, Father, on this day, as we gather in your presence, rendered holy through the blood of your Son, that, Father, you would grant us that marvelous peace of the hearing of your word and sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. It's always kind of a pleasure to go back and read from the Old Testament, especially when we read from Isaiah, and recognize very clearly, it's like the ancient church said, really, Isaiah is the fifth gospel. It's kind of like so immensely clear what is spoken of there, what is foretold within the gospel, that we really come to this quite remarkable place of this understanding that 700 years before the Christ would even appear, that God foretold what was going to take place, this understanding. And that God would have this amazing, incredible grace to show to his people, even though he acknowledges their fault and he acknowledges their issues. And so when I do this, you know, I always like to read this in Hebrew, and when I read it in Hebrew, I always understand how bad I stink at Hebrew. You know, I'm a New Testament guy, you know, so my forte is Greek. And so I always go to a guy by the name of Robert Alter, who's a very, very well-known translator of Hebrew text. And he really points out a lot of things in relationship to this to understand that's very important as this really begins this whole understanding of things. He translates this, "Do not recall the first things. And what came before, do not consider." What he's really talking about here is the Exodus. What this is indicating is really the Exodus, which is what precedes this. What God is saying, don't look at the Exodus. Don't look at the Exodus and think of that as being like the way things really are. He says, don't look at the Exodus. The Exodus, he's really saying, is kind of nothing. He says, that was easy. He says, getting you out of Egypt was no problem. He says, that was a simple thing to do. He says, I'm about to do a new thing. He says, and when I do it, he says, it's not going to be like a secret thing. He says, it's going to spring forth. And this isn't, the King James translators translated this as a question, will you not know it? But actually, it's not a question. It simply says, and you're going to know it. He says, when I do this thing, it's going to be so obvious how great it is that you're going to know it. You're going to know it. And this is what really brings us to the understanding of what we need to see in relationship of what Isaiah is talking about. What he's talking about is the coming of Jesus Christ. God says, when I do this, when I deliver you, he says, it's not going to be like this little thing of like parting the Red Sea. He says, the Red Sea, that's nothing to me. That's a puddle. You know, that's not a big deal. You know, taking care of Pharaoh's army and things like that, that's nothing. He says, that's easy. He says, don't think about that. He says, I'm going to do something that's so new, that's so amazing. And when I do it, he says, it's not going to be some hidden thing. As a matter of fact, what it's going to do is it's going to revolutionize everything. It's going to change everything. And that's why Isaiah goes on to say, he says, I'm going to make a path in the desert. I'm going to make a way in a deserted place. He says, I'm going to put paths in the wasteland. He says, there's not going to be a wasteland anymore. He says, there's not going to be a place where there's people that are out there that you don't know and I don't know. There's not going to be any of that anymore. He says, there's not going to be some specific group or some special group of people. He says, everybody is going to be brought back together again. He says, they're all going to be mine. And he says, and I'm going to show you this. He says, in the King James renders this owls and dragons, but actually it's jackals and ostriches. He says, even amongst them, he says, even the beasts of the field are going to know this restoration. He says, they're going to know what I have done. And he says, because I'll put water in the dry places. He says, I'll put water in the dry places and rivers in the wasteland. He says, and I will give my people drink. I'll give them to drink. And then he goes on and he says, the people that I myself fashioned, he says, you're my people. He says, I fashioned you. And he says, and you're going to remember this. He says, you're going to acclaim me. He says, you're going to realize what I have done. And then he goes on, and you know this part that he talks about in here. He says, he describes their fault. He says, you didn't bring me my offerings. You didn't honor me. He says, I didn't burden you. I didn't do that to you. He says, but still, he says, you wouldn't see to it. You couldn't fulfill what I asked of you. And that's what's so important to this, is to understand that the law was weak according to the flesh, as St. Paul says. We couldn't do it. We would never honor God rightly, no matter how hard we try. In our best day of our best religion, we would never really truly honor God the way God needs to be honored. There would always be some sense of a reserve. There would always be some sense of holding back in relationship to God. There would always be this sort of thing. He says, you burdened me with your offenses and you wearied me with your crimes. He says, you didn't recognize. He says, I saw all of this and all of this was apparent to me. But he says, I wipe away your transgressions for my sake. He says, I wipe them away. He says, I take them out of the way and your offenses I do not recall. And you see, this is the point of understanding the nature of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the hardest thing, Helmut Thielicke says. It's the hardest thing for us to live with. It's the most difficult thing as human beings to come to this place, to realize that we deal with a God who simply flat out forgives us. We are so hung up on our transgression. We're so hung up on our failure. We're so hung up on these things that we are deceived in trying to think that we can do something about it. That somehow or another, if we tried hard enough, we could reverse course. We could fix it. And you recognize very clearly that fix-it-up attitude does nothing but make it worse. It doesn't solve the issue. And this is why God says, He says, I, and he emphasizes this, I wipe away your transgressions. He says, I take them away. He says, and as a matter of fact, I don't remember them. So then he goes on to say, he says, then, if that's really the case, then help me recall, he says. Then if you really want to do this, then help me recall, he says. Let's really sit down and have a judgment then. He says, you go ahead and recount this in order that you can be proven right, that it's better for you to proceed down this pathway. He says, don't you realize it's all the way back to your first father who offended? He says, it's all the way back there. And your spokesman, he says, even the people that you put out in front of you, he says, they transgressed. He says, this was what was done. He says, so now I profaned the sanctuary. And of course, Isaiah is talking about something that hasn't even happened yet. That's what's going to happen. After this time, Jerusalem will be destroyed and carried off into exile. He says, I profaned the sanctuary's princes. I gave Jacob to destruction. He says, Israel to reviling. But he says, and now listen, Jacob. He says, now I want you to hear the actual judgment. Now I want you to hear the actual judgment. And Israel, whom I have chosen, thus said the Lord your maker, your fashioner in the womb, who helps you. Do not fear my servant Jacob. And Yeshurun, which means upright, says upright one. He says, whom I have chosen, as I pour water on thirsty land and rivulets on dry ground, I will pour my spirit on your seed and my blessing on your offspring, and they shall sprout among the grass like willows by brooks of water. He's talking about us. This is what Paul talks about, is to understand the seed. The seed. He says, he will do this for the seed. He does not say seeds. He says, the seed. The seed is Jesus Christ. He says, I will do this. He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on your seed. And you remember when Jesus was baptized, that's exactly what took place. The Holy Spirit came upon him. Why? For us. Came upon him for us. So that the restoration of the Spirit of God, the breath of God, would now come into humanity again. So that now there would be this blessing of the offspring of God. And that's really what we're all about. You see, we are not about remembering our sins. We get too hung up on this thing of remembering our sins, that somehow or another, in the remembering of our sins, we're doing God some favor. God turns around and says, I don't even want to hear about your sins. I already blotted them out. What I want to hear about from you is about the finished work that has been accomplished for you, so you will give me the acclaim that is due me. For I have loved you. I have loved you. And I have never forsaken you. Though you would have forsaken me, I will never give you up. And I have never given you up. I have always taken up your cause. I have always been your advocate. I have been your keeper. And not only have I done this in a distant way, but I have done it in this way, so that now the advocate, the Holy Spirit, has been given to you, and it has been poured out upon all flesh, so that now you freely would come. You freely would receive. That you would understand now, there is no obstacle between us any longer. I have removed every obstacle, so that you need not bear witness to your failure. Your failure is evident. God says, I already know all of that. And I blotted it out. I blotted it out. So that the point is, so that you would freely come. That you would freely know. That you would know this marvelous word, forgiveness. That you would know forgiveness. That in that understanding of forgiveness, that now you would live your life. You would live your life not as a sinner, But a forgiven person, a forgiven sinner, a sinner who has received grace, who is accounted holy in the sight of their God, a sinner who has received peace from God. Did you ever understand why we can't find peace? You talk to people all the time, and they struggle with this thing of finding peace. It's always this issue of finding peace. I can't find any peace. I can't sleep at night because I can't find any peace. You know, I fight my acid reflux, and I still can't find peace. You know, I do these sort of things. I can't find peace. You're looking in the wrong place. There's no peace in the world. It can't give people peace. We're never, ever going to find a place where we find peace, release from the anxiety of this world. The peace that we have is in Christ Jesus. The peace is given by the new thing, and that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what he means, if it's true that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he took the dead with him, he says, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. He says, and that's, he's referring to Isaiah. What he's referring to is exactly right here. He says, then there's a new creation. He says, the old things have passed away. Look, he says, everything has become new. And all things, he says, are of God in Christ Jesus. You're of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, hallelujah. You're of God in Christ Jesus. You are a living, breathing being in God in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit, the very breath of God, inhabits you and lives in you. And now you know the meaning of forgiveness. You are forgiven. You have peace. A peace that the world cannot take from you. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all iniquity. And this is the meaning of that tremendous five-letter word, grace, grace. This is grace. This is grace. It's an unmerited favor. It is simply the gift of God bestowed upon us because God so loved us. And that's the thing that we've got to learn to understand. No matter what we think of ourselves, God so loves us. He just flat out loves us. Flat out loves us. I always tried to understand this with my parents because I could never figure out how they could just flat out love me because I was a pain in the backside. And the fact of the matter is that that's just the way it is. They just loved me. They were loving. They were kind. And then I understood why. It wasn't because they were my parents. It was because they were Christians. Because my dad came up to me one day and said, Jay, I want you to understand one thing. I know exactly what you're like because I'm the same way. We all need grace. That's what we need. We just need grace. We need to constantly be reminded that we are imperfect people. We do not share this wonderful thing of perfection like some people think that they have. We do not have perfection. But in Jesus Christ, we have the gift of perfection. We are accounted righteous for his sake. And we now, by grace, now live so that we can have peace. And the peace that we exchange is real. When we say God's peace to each other, that's not a secret password. It's not some special thing, you know, that with a decoder ring, you know, where you need to figure out some code or something like that that makes you some, like, special thing or something like that. God's peace simply says, you have the peace of God. Hey, guess what? God's peace. God's peace. You have the peace of God. Do you realize you have the peace of God? Right now, right here, right in this place, you have the peace of God. You have the peace of God. Do you realize you can walk down the street? People will look at you kind of funny, but I try to do it as much as I can. I'll shake their hand and say, God's peace. They look at me kind of weird. If they've been raised like good Lutheran or something like that, they'll say, and also with you. You know, they know the right response to say in relationship to those things. In relationship to this, but you understand this is the greatest gift that we can bestow upon people. We can walk down the street and try to get into their head. God's peace. God's at peace with you. It isn't some secret thing. It isn't some like special little code that we use. It's the indicator of what Jesus Christ has done in the world. He's given us peace. And that's exactly what the scripture says. That now this peace has been given. And that's why Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 5. We don't know anyone according to the flesh any longer. Because the new creation has come. He says, all things are of God. He says, and God has reconciled the world unto himself, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, not imputing their trespasses unto them. The only ones who impute trespasses unto them is us. We do it. God says, I don't impute their trespasses unto them. And he says, and he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He's entrusted us with the word of grace. Isn't that a great thing? We've been entrusted with the word of grace. Do you realize we can give grace to the life of a human being? Do you ever see that sort of thing where somebody up here, and of course they never do that, where somebody runs a stop sign in front of you? Not that they ever do that. You know, and you watch the reaction to that. And then all of a sudden what I like about it is that then the person goes down the road, and then they run a stop sign. You ever notice that sort of thing? They're so mad that then they run a stop sign, so they do exactly the same thing the other person did. And you're kind of like, in relationship to this, where did that get you? You know? And I'm not telling you I was any better, because, man, I could lose my temper like that quick, you know? But now I just sit there and wave. Just wave. Because really, what does it do? Not a thing. Just kind of makes you miserable, that's all. Yeah, it's not like people aren't going to keep running stop signs up here. It's like everybody knows they make stop signs for other people, not for me. And you recognize right away that what does this do? The greatest thing that we ever do is to bestow grace on another person. Because when you bestow that grace on the other person, that grace comes back to you. It comes back to you, and it gives you peace. You recognize when you can just wave and smile, it gives you peace. You understand? Yeah, there you go. You know, it works. It's just an exchange of peace. Because you understand, I don't have anything against you. I don't know how many stop signs I've run in my life. I'll tell you a story one time when I was in Robbinsdale, Minnesota. They had put up a new stop sign. I rolled right through it. Cop ran out, pulled me over, and he said, did you see that stop sign? I said, I sure did. He says, well, what did you do? I says, I ran right through it. I rolled right through it. He said, he started laughing so hard, he looked at me and he said, no, I've never met an honest person like that before. He said, don't do that again. He said, put those things up there for that. Don't do that again. And I thought, that's pretty cool, you know. I didn't do it again, you know. I didn't have to run through it again. You really come to this point of realization. Grace goes a long way in life. 700 years before Jesus would even appear on this planet, God spoke to the prophet Isaiah, and he said, I want you to understand I'm very gracious. I'm just very gracious. He says, your actions are going to lead you into some pretty goofy stuff, but I want you to understand, I'm gracious. I'm going to blot out your transgressions. He says, and I'm going to give you peace. And it's going to be like when you're in a desert and you're like dying of thirst and I'm just going to pour water out on you. He says, I'm not going to give you this in some scarce way, some tiny little way. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give it to you freely. And all you need to do is open your mouth. Open your mouth. For I will quench your thirst. And I will make you to be filled with the water of life. I will give you all that I have to give. I will overcome every failing that you can try to remind me of, because I don't even hear what you're saying. He says, it is my grace. It is my grace. Today, when we gather for grace. We come into this place for grace. We come to the Holy Supper for grace. We come for grace, and we receive it. We place that grace in our mouth because God feeds us with the body and blood of Jesus the Christ, and he heals us and he restores us, and he tells us, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. So that you understand the peace of God. And when we are fed with that supper, we leave the building. We leave the building fed, sated, forgiven, filled with the grace of our Lord, so that we can go down the street and we can bring peace. We can bring grace. Because we are renewed, we have peace. And we have a lot to share with a world that is dry. And it needs to be watered. It needs to receive the love of God in his goodness, in his grace. We are of all people most blessed. And we are called simply to be a blessing. To take the blessing that we have received and to bless the world with our blessing. And in that blessing, that we give God his due. We give God his due. We tell him, thank you, thank you, thank you. For you are so good. And your goodness never ends. And your grace is sufficient. It's sufficient for me. And it's sufficient for your world. Enjoy the grace of God. Don't think that it's something to be, you know, handed out scarcely. You know, if you try hard enough, we'll give you a little bit of this. No. You receive the fullness of it. And you bask in that fullness. And you enjoy yourself in the forgiveness of God. And let that grace so fill you and guide you that day by day you recognize it becomes all the more. It's like you don't even understand how that can happen, but it grows greater and it grows stronger and it grows until the point where you can't believe it will grow anymore. And then the next day it grows some more. Because the grace of God is without end. And it has been purchased through the blood of the righteous Son for our peace, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we do indeed thank you for the gift of your Son, for the power of that grace that enables us, Father, to be filled with grace and grants to us the blessed gift of peace. Your people come before you this day, Father, to receive your gift. Sanctify that gift in their mouths and to their bodies. That, Father, that word would so fill us that we would recognize, just like rivers in dry places, you have poured out the water of life and given it freely unto us. For Jesus' sake. Amen.